ambulance driver.
Dunkin' Donuts here on CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people. And at the top there, we heard Calvin Johnson and friends, Amelia and Peter and others, from the 1999 compilation Selector Dub Narcotic. That song was called Ambulance Driver Blues. And that goes out to the ambulance drivers, to the paramedics, to the first responders, to the people driving around all over the place, the cab drivers, the Uber drivers, the delivery drivers. I was at a holiday party in December and I met a paramedic who talked about how much he loves campus and community radio and just gets so bogged down by corporate radio that needs to seek out co-op radio and CJSF and CITR. So I don't remember your name, but you were very nice to talk to, and it was great to connect with a fellow lover of community radio. So that one goes out to you. On today's show, the second half, we're going to have a chat with Mary Ocher. She's a Berlin-based artist who's going to be in town this Sunday night at Green Auto, playing with Larissa Loiva's new project, The Voice of Hearing. And it should be a swell time, and we had a nice chat earlier this week. But before that, we have a very special guest in studio. Hello, special guest. I'm going to turn on your mic. How about that?
Hi, Duncan. How's it going?
Good. How are you? Let's get that a little bit closer to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds great. So, Dan, welcome to CITR Studios. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Hi. Yeah. My name is Daniel Forrest. I'm a musician and grad student here in Vancouver, so-called Vancouver, BC. And I'm starting up a new project, and I think that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, yeah. So people might be familiar with you from the band Buddy.
Yeah.
So you were on, we did an interview about a year ago, or a little more than that, and you and your band play a lot of shows around town. Very raucous band. So you've decided to lean kind of onto your folkier side.
Yeah.
What made you want to make strike out on your own?
Yeah, I just started writing songs that felt a little different than the rest of them. I mean, that's the short answer, but the long answer, I guess, is kind of like that I grew up going to folk festivals, and it feels like there's something about that music that feels like kind of right for this moment in a lot of ways. And like having a political voice in indie rock didn't always feel like it was the most welcome in that space in the exact same way. And so there's kind of a bridging of like indie rock and folk and country that feels like it's happening right now, that feels a bit more right for the moment. So.
Yeah. And what is this moment? Like when you say this moment, that could mean different things to people.
Oh,
what does it mean for you?
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot going on right now in the world, and it's really heavy stuff. I mean, there's rising fascism across multiple countries, but you know, I'm American, so I think of that. Trump just being elected, the fact that Israel is, you know, decimating communities, Palestinian communities, the fact that all of this is going on, fueling climate change, ecological destruction. Like, our world's in a really rough spot, and so you know, it doesn't feel hopeful if we're not trying to do something about it right now. So, you know, just letting those thoughts go is kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of different ways that you could respond to that. I mean, I think many people feel hopeless. A lot of people start reading and doing things, and other people take direct action.
Yep.
Why did you think, I mean, and you may be doing some of those things as well, but what was it about like this style, like this song that you've just released, like Map and Bible? What were you trying to accomplish with that song?
Yeah. To be honest, I think I was kind of reckoning with like parts of my identity. I was raised in a Reformed Jewish community. I kind of rejected religion like right off the bat, and felt also like in doing that, I kind of rejected the cultural aspects of that too somewhat, because I didn't really understand how to tease them apart, because Judaism, as it's taught to us in North America, kind of links a number of different identities. So one of them is religious, but another one is cultural, and another one is actually a nationality, and that's Israel. And so we're taught that all of those things are one. And you know, I just over the last like 10 years really just been figuring out like who am I, what is this thing that I was like taught and is a part of me, and I know all these traditions and I can like speak bits of another language, like how does that fit in right now, while I also have these deep feelings of like, this state that I was taught represents a part of my identity is waging war on other people in a way that I find like completely awful and completely, you know, it's probably the worst thing that's happening in the world right now. So how, anyway, so that, yeah. That's just try to sum it up in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new song is called Map and Bible.
Yeah.
Should we give it a listen to the song?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Anything else you want to do or say to set it up? Or?
No, I think I about said it just before. I think that's enough context. Thanks. Yeah.
Here we go. Here is Map and Bible, the new single from D.L. Forest.
Biden's on the TV. He says my people don't belong. Says we're better off in the desert throwing bombs. He's got a lookout for his own transnational plans. He's leveraging my ethnic line for his donors' demands. I don't wanna lie down and let my culture die, but I can't live to Bushnell burns outside the embassy to raise our fears. If here ain't home for me, then I don't know where else is. Why do you think a map or the Bible could justify this? I don't wanna lie down and let my culture die, but I can't live to see it become a fruit for genocide. I don't wanna lie down and let my culture die, but I can't live to see it become a fruit.
my name, it ain't nothing. My age, it means less. The country I come from is called the Midwest. I was taught and brought up there, the laws to abide, and that the land that I live in has God on its side. Oh, the history books tell it, they tell it so well. The cavalry's charged, the Indians fell. The cavalry's charged, the Indians died. Oh, the country was young with God on its side. The Spanish American War had its day, and the Civil War too was soon laid away, and the names of the heroes I was made to memorize, with guns in their hands and God on their side. The First World War, boys, it came and it went. The reason for fighting I never did get, but I learned to accept it with pride. For you don't count the dead when God's on your side. The Second World War came to an end. We forgave the Germans, and then we were friends. Though they murdered 6 million in the ovens they fried, the Germans now too have God on their side. I've learned to hate the Russians all through my whole life. If another war comes, it's them we must fight. To hate them and fear them, to run in to hide, and accept it all bravely with God on my side. But now we got weapons of chemical dust. If fire them were forced to, then fire them we must. One push of the button and it shot the world wide. And you never ask questions when God's on your side. through many dark hours. I've been thinking about this, that Jesus Christ was betrayed by a kiss. But I can't think for you, you'll have to decide whether Judas Iscariot had God on his side. So now as I'm leaving, I'm weary as hell. The confusion I'm feeling ain't no tongue can tell. The words fill my head and I fall to the floor. That if God's on our side, he'll stop the next war.
All right, from The Times They Are a-Changin', that was Bob Dylan with the song With God on Our Side. Dan, what made you want to choose that song? Or what?
It feels like Bob Dylan was kind of writing from a similar perspective in a weirdly similar moment in history, talking kind of about the U.S. and how it gets involved in kind of war and imperialism and how it's justified by kind of how we are like we have God on our side. It's a religious war of kind of people that are there. There's no greater justification. It's just always right because God's on our side. Right. And I think a similar sort of thing is happening with the argument of Zionism, and that, you know, we're, you know, to Zionists, Jews are considered the chosen people and they're destined to be in this land. So they must do it. And, you know, if you buy into that argument, then there's nothing you can't do. So it's a very powerful form of propaganda, in my opinion. And he's speaking to a similar phenomenon that we've seen before in history. And the U.S. is playing a kind of similar role in Israel by they wouldn't be able to do it without the U.S. You know, they're funding them by billions and billions of dollars this year alone, like more than $20 billion worth of military funding to Israel. So,
yeah. Did you see the sermon by the Episcopalian bishop?
I did, actually. Yeah, it was very...
It was moving.
It should have been moving to the audience members, I thought, because I was moved by what she was saying. But yeah, wow. The blank looks on the Trump and associate faces was just disturbing, honestly. But
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So you've put out your first single.
Yeah.
And you've got a few more tracks that you're working on now. And so, what's your plan for the DL Forest project?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm kind of taking it one step at a time. But I've been really encouraged by the people that I'm working with on the project. So Hayden Watson, who has been like the recording engineer, and he's been mixing all the tracks. We've been working in a kind of really collaborative way in the studio, so that's been great. Kira Cuthbertson, who has a band called Runner, has been singing with me for live performances and backing vocals on that recording, and I think that'll keep going, and so we'll see what comes of the live show. And Tim McMonagle, a good friend, came in and played drums on all the songs, and that was like just 3 days. He learned them all, and we just did them all one day in the studio.
What a pro.
And it was awesome. He's like super talented and plays in a bunch. He plays in a band called Gashapon in Philly. You should check him out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I know you've played a couple of live shows, at least with DL Forest, I think, Green Auto. Anything on the calendar yet?
What is on the calendar? I don't have any live performances scheduled right now, but I might be playing like I think the Heatley does like an open mic thing once a month, and perhaps next month I think I might be playing there. And I'm just, right now, Buddy is also recording an album right now, trying to finish that up. So we have a show on February 1st at KW Studios to open for Joe Pass, who's releasing a single. So, maybe yeah. focus on that for a sec and then pick up the DL Forest stuff later. But yeah, basically it's a recording, mostly a recording project with some live shows sprinkled in for the time being. And then once this more of the songs are done, I'm hoping to gear up a little bit, maybe a tour in the future.
Yeah. And you're a grad student. Amazing. Amazing productivity. All right. You had another song you picked out. This is Greg Freeman.
Yeah.
Tell me about Greg Freeman.
So I don't know Greg personally, but he has been collaborating with someone who I've kind of been familiar with for a while called Merce Lemon out of Pittsburgh. And they're just making some really, really great music right now. This album came out in 2022 and like practically every single song on it is amazing. And just like the lyricism, artistry, musicianship, it's all fantastic. So I highly recommend checking out Greg Freeman. I think the album's called I Looked Out. Yeah, and this song's great.
Here we go. This is Come and Change My Body by Greg Freeman.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as Run for the Knife, Run the Second to the Dawn. We offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has a naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
Thank you.
All right, from the new EP Breath Space, that was Voice of Hearing with the song You Are Deserving. And Voice of Hearing are going to be opening for our next guest, Mary Ocher, when she plays at Green Auto, fabulous Green Auto, on
Shout out Green
Sunday
Auto.
Night. Yes. And before that, we heard Greg Freeman from the album I Looked Out, the song Come and Change My Body. Dan, thank you so much for coming. This is it was really great to hear from you.
Yeah.
And like, great that you're you've found a creative way of addressing these big things that we're all grappling with, and I really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Duncan. It's great to catch up, honestly.
Yes, yeah. I agree. All right, I'm gonna play some Mary Ocher next. This is from her recent album Approaching Singularity. This is the song Is Life Possible, and after that I'll go straight into my interview with her from a few days ago. So and then I'll be back to say bye at the top of the hour. Okay, here we go.
Whenever a computer hears this tone, it replaces it with an image. Never again. Never again will I listen to them. Diplomatically extinguishing fires. How much longer, Europe, shoveling this? We want to roam, to travel wild. Aren't we all accidents?
I look at the piano, the piano looks at me. Am I afraid of it, or it of me?
My voice has validity, my tongue has validity, my fingers are validity, and the words that they type. Is life possible? Under which conditions? But lives are worth living. Mine was the first and the last. A collective dream of America. A thought swimming freely in a sack of human flesh. My voice has validity, my tongue has validity, my fingers have validity, and the words that they type. Is life possible? Under which conditions? Is life possible? Possible at all? My voice has validity. My tongue has.
All right. I'd now like to welcome to the CITR airwaves Mary Ocher. So, Mary, welcome to CITR.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Whereabouts am I talking to you? Where are you right now?
I'm outside of our friend's house in Phoenix, Arizona. I was supposed to be in San Diego, but this is a really interesting thing about this country, the USA. They are kind of awful to their artists, and I've toured a lot in the US before, so I have some experience, and they canceled on a 24 hours notice, and I've never had that experience in my entire life, so which drove to my friend's place instead.
That stinks. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And I made a little post about it just so that people know, because people bought tickets, we had press. And I got an email from, I guess, the promoter saying, remove this right now. And I just ignored it because I honestly don't think they have any right to tell me anything. And I find it amusing.
Yeah. No. Well. Yeah. That's awful. But you had one more show before that. You played in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah. I played in LA and then in Long Beach. And there's still, I think, another 6 shows to go.
Yes. Yeah. How does it feel to be in the U.S. right now? So, this is your first time back in on the West Coast of North America since 2020. How do you feel about being in the U.S. right now, and especially in Southern California?
It's strange. It's still, it's kind of the same. There's still lots of poor people in the streets. But there's also, I don't know, I think everyone's struggling, and there's the wildfires, which I think just makes everything seem even more apocalyptic. I mean, we're already in a period that feels so incredibly unstable. So I think there's just a lot of tension. And on top of that, this just happened. Like, we're still in the midst of it, and people have lost their homes. So I was in town while this was happening, which was pretty surreal.
Yeah.
And it really affected friends of friends, and I'm grateful that people still came out to the show, because a lot of people couldn't make it because they were displaced or they were trying to help their friends, and it's kind of a mess.
Yeah. You're touring two new albums that you have that were both released recently. So one is Your Guide to Revolution, and the other is Approaching Singularity, Music for the End of Time. And it seems to be, they're both very topical for, society at large, but especially like what's going on in the U.S. and there right now. So it's like your timing's impeccable, if like really depressing, that it's bang on.
Well, thank you. I mean, I planned it this way. No, I mean, unfortunately, it's not just about what's going on in the U.S. or North America. It's just what's happening in the entire world.
Yeah. How did the two, Approaching Singularity came out in 2023 and included a number of collaborators, and then your Guide to Revolution came out last year. How do the two albums differ? Like, what were the different approaches that you had with both of them?
Well, they are part of the same session. They were recorded together. I was considering whether it might be a good idea to turn it into a double album, but I realized that in this day and age, it'd probably be a bad idea. Because there's not a lot of focus, and it's easier to promote two separate albums. It gives you kind of more possibilities, more options. You can just do more things with it. And it was just so much. I had 4 music videos for some of the songs and 4 for another. So it just kind of made sense to separate them into two albums that were released 6 months apart. I think they were mostly divided according to the theme. So of course it could have been something entirely different, but it took some time just playing around and kind of trying to see what was most interesting. I didn't want to repeat things too much, and I wanted to keep things diverse. So it was a lot of playing around with the track order, and I think until the very last moment I kept removing tracks and just playing with the order. So yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, but Approaching Singularity is mostly about all the disasters that are happening. So it's about surveillance and authoritarianism, all these changes that we're going through. With my personal background, I was born in Moscow, and so I have all these stories about prosecution and things that are actually repeating themselves. It seems that history is kind of repeating itself.
One name that jumped out, I was looking at the track listing for Approaching Singularity, and Roberto Cacciapaglia is someone who put out an album, I guess it was in the late 70s or early 80s, the Anne Steele album, which is
one of my, know it.
Like, I love that record so much. And the Anne Steele album is like a family favorite around here. So how did you connect with him?
Well, the Unsteal album was also my introduction to his work. I think it was a friend who discovered it on the internet in the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would DJ tracks of that album, usually within the context of Italo disco and space disco.
Yeah.
And then I think around 2012, I was on tour with Ned Collett in Australia. And his band members were into a bunch of early 80s ambient records that were also by Roberto Cacciapalli, and they sounded nothing like the Unsteal album. So then I discovered that his body of work is actually very vast and diverse. And I don't remember how exactly, but like I somehow managed to get in touch with him. And on one of the occasions when I was in Milano, he invited me over to his studio. And he has a beautiful studio in the center of Milano, and in a basement of an historical building, and it's all covered in wood, and he has this grand piano, and we stayed in touch, and I learned that in recent years, or maybe in the last couple of decades, he's mostly working on classical music, and he performs with a big orchestra. I think he's on Universal Records, and so he makes very different music now.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2019, we went to Italy with the band to work on what ended up turning into these two records. And I was hoping that he could maybe join us. We were just 1 hour away from Milano.
Yeah.
But the logistics were a little bit complicated. So we actually ended up sending recordings long distance, even though we were only 1 hour apart. So he recorded his parts in Milano, and then we received it in the studio and worked on it in the studio.
Yeah.
And that's the story.
Cool. Very cool. You also did an interpolation, or you reworked some of Dorothy Ashby's music for your second, or the second of the two albums, Your Guide to Revolution. What was it about Dorothy Ashby's work that made you want to engage with it and rework it?
Well, they're all taken from this beautiful album. I think it's originally from 1970, or maybe it was recorded in 69 and released in 1970, the Rubaiyat of Dorothy Ashby. And it's based on the poetry of this Persian, extremely well-known poet in the Arab world. He's known in Iran, but also in Arab-speaking countries. Omar Khayyam, I'm not extremely knowledgeable of everything he wrote, but he wrote the pieces known as the Rubaiyat, which were then translated, I think, in the 19th century into English. And these were the texts used by Dorothy Ashby in this beautiful jazz fusion harp record. And she's not extremely well known. I wish that she was better mm-hmm. known. Like, I go to record stores and I speak with people, and it's always a pleasant surprise when they know this album. So I guess I sometimes just choose pieces that I really like, and I really want people to listen to their originals. So I hope that by covering them or making variations, people actually dig up the originals. Like, for instance, I did in 2017 with Robbie Basho's Blue Crystal Fire. I really don't think I did justice to any of these pieces, but I hope that people might go and listen to the originals.
Yeah. So I read a couple of the essays that you had, one about the guide to living with just enough, or I'm probably butchering that a little bit, but basically kind of a like an anti-capitalist. And then also the essay that accompanied Approaching Singularity, just where you talked about the surveillance state that we live in and the other calamities that we're facing. So I'm just wondering, like, how, as an artist, do you navigate the tension between being very critical of those forces and those platforms, but then also having to get the word out about your music? So, you know, I think a lot of artists now have a real difficulty with Meta and Twitter and those platforms, but also needing them to get the message out, and then also things like Spotify. So, like, you've obviously thought very critically about these things, and I'm just wondering how you make peace or how you navigate those conflicting needs from yourself as an artist.
Well, I think it's important to be aware that all these structures will not always be there. For instance, we pay so much attention to the amount of likes that we have on maybe Instagram, or how many people watched our videos on YouTube, and one day they're just not going to be there. Yeah. It's a fact. I mean, I don't know if we'll still be here, but one way that sort of I consider an alternative is keeping direct contact with people via mailing list. So for years, I collect email addresses, and I try to note where people are based so that I know that if I'm in a certain city, I can contact people just in that city. Mm-hmm. And and it's just important to kind of keep things engaging. Sometimes people lose interest and they ask to be removed from your mailing list, and that's totally fine. But I think it's somehow a safer way to be able to have a more direct contact with people. I used to rely on Facebook very, very heavily. I still have lists. I know in which cities which of my friends are, so that, again, if I have shows in certain cities, I can actually tell people.
Right.
And I do, but it's just become much less reliable because a lot of people left Facebook. And
yeah.
It's not really as important a platform as it once was.
I noticed that some of your merch, that you had a t-shirt from a few beers a couple of years back that said techno is shit. And a friend of mine moved to Berlin last year, and I was asking them about the like what the live music scene was like. And they were saying, like, you know, there are some bands that play, but really it's about clubs and techno music. That's like the primary like music culture in Berlin. So I'm just wondering, I saw that t-shirt and it kind of made me laugh a bit. What's your artistic life like in Berlin? And, you know, are you able to thrive as a pop or avant-garde musician who maybe doesn't care about techno?
Well, I've always been doing pretty much what I do. I think maybe I became a little more curious about electronic equipment, and so gradually over the years, from having a set that was more guitar heavy, it turned into a set that had a lot more synth elements in it, but it's still essentially all these things.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of techno music. I find most of it extremely boring, but I have to say that at the same time, I appreciate some more creative productions. There are some exceptions and things that I do appreciate, and a lot of the festivals, for instance, that are considered more avant-garde festivals, book a lot of techno stuff. It's just a thing that seems to kind of be hip and considered sophisticated, even though I personally find it extremely unimaginative. But the shirts are doing extremely well, and I think the irony is that they were launched at the album release show, which was at the Berghain, which is the most popular techno club.
And yeah,
they booked me again next time for the next album release show, so I think we're okay.
So they like you, even though you might have some skepticism towards them.
I guess another irony is that there are actually two techno tracks that are maybe a little bit less conventional, but they're still essentially quite, you know, quite techno-ish on that album. So that was part of the joke. It was a big joke.
Yeah, yeah.
And those shirts are doing very well in Europe. And now I have the same thing on tote bags on this tour, so we'll see how it goes.
Nice. and I was curious, like, so you perform as Mary Ocher, and then you have your government, and that's your, like, your rhythm section, or it's, like, two drummers that you tour with?
Yes, it's my band with two drummers, and I've been playing with your government since, I think, 2012.
So you record your albums as a solo artist, but then you when they're there, you credit them.
Yes, I know it's kind of confusing and maybe not kind of the normal way to do things, but I feel like it's its own thing. But at the same time, I can't fully commit to only performing with the band because I want to be able to pay them well, and there's not enough money most of the time.
Yeah.
So the reality is that I go on these very expensive tours on my own.
Right. So speaking of the tour, like what can people expect when they see you at Green Auto next Sunday? What What does your live performance on this tour look like?
Well, there's a big variety of instruments, and there are also visuals. And there's also a new section that I'm trying for the first time on this tour, but my computer just died, and it's the first time I'm using a computer, which I can always consider blasphemous. So maybe it's kind of the way of my computer to agree with me. But I hope to be able to fix it before the next shows.
Okay. No, that's too bad. I was watching your Is Life Possible video, and there was a very strange thing that someone was wearing. They were wearing a Vancouver Canucks hockey jersey. And I was wondering if there was any kind of actual Vancouver connection there, or if that was just a happy accident that that person was wearing a Vancouver
Canucks
jersey.
Oh, no, there is. Mott's the drummer, grew up in Vancouver.
Oh, really? Oh, so the drummer from your government. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a cool connection. It pretty much wraps up all the questions I had. I mean, there's. I was going to ask you about growing or being born in Russia and growing up in Israel. How the last couple of years have been, but maybe that's too heavy for an interview like this. I don't need to.
I don't mind. Unless... I can still answer the question if you like. Okay, so these are two very fun places to be from in the last couple of years. So usually when people ask me these days, where am I from, I tell them that I'm from two of the best places, and then I kind of tell them where I'm from.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's an awkward silence.
Mm-hmm.
But I find it a little bit amusing because I've been talking and criticizing these governments for so many years, and it's only in these couple of years that these governments have done awful things that finally the Western media is kind of picking up on that and, you know, exposing the reality of what's happening. Until a couple of years ago, people just didn't know enough. And Israel in particular was always very, very good at PR and covering all this up.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this the big public image, and the people who are in Israel are brainwashed. So my family and friends who chose to stay there, nobody really wants to know what's happening.
Yeah.
And when you read the news and you watch the television, you only see the other side of the story.
Yeah.
And the official version is that our government is always right, and that our army is morally superior, and that nothing we will ever do to the Palestinians is equal to what was done to us in the Holocaust. So that's kind of the official narrative, and it's fucked up.
Yeah.
And I left the country as soon as I could. And I could never imagine living there. I left in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents left the Soviet Union as it was collapsing. So we left in February 1991 during the Gulf War, and we moved to Tel Aviv while it was being bombed.
During the Gulf War, yeah.
So that's it's kind of what I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
It's like constant tension, and war is always around the corner.
Well, I'm glad you found an artistic home in Berlin, and that you're, the rest of us have caught up with what some of the truths that you've known for a long time. All right. Well, that will do it for the time we have now. Thank you so much, Mary. I hope the rest of your tour goes very smoothly, and that you only meet respectful promoters from here on out, and that you have
thank
a great time
so
up the West Coast.
Thank you.
Okay.
Excellent. Have a great weekend, and thank you so much for calling.
All right. Thank you to Mary Ocher for making time for that phone call on Sunday. And we're right now listening to her song Sympathize from Your Guide to Revolution, which came out late last year. And at the top, before the interview, we heard a song from her other record that came out from the same sessions but was released separately. That was the song Is Life Possible? Once again, Mary Ocher is at Green Auto this Sunday night along with Voice of Hearing. I'm going to close out with some Roberto Cacciapalia from the Ansteel album, which is phenomenal Italo disco. If you, I'd recommend giving a listen, and especially the live Italian television performance of My Time. I recommend looking that up. So let's close things out with the song Measurable Joys. We all need some joy right now. And that will do it for this week's Dunkin' Donuts. Thanks for listening. I will see you next week.